Alrighty. Well, good evening. If you're glad to be here, let me hear a hearty amen.
Amen.
It is so good. And that was a great hearty amen. I am so glad to be here with you guys. My name is Seth, and my wife, Susanna, is sitting right up front here, and we are the Lundays. And some people, they always mess up our name. They call us Lundy, Laundry, you know, they call us all things. So, like I was telling the teens this morning, if you want to remember us Lundays, just remember every day is a fun day with the Lundays on a Sunday, all right? So that is a great way to remember us Lundays. Try to say that five times without getting your tongue twisted, and you got it down. And we are so glad to be here. And you know, I just want to say, like we say Lundays, fun days, it's so much fun serving God. And there is no greater place than to be in the center of God's will. And I just love being able to serve the Lord. It's amazing the adventure that God takes you on when you surrender it all to Him. And it's just amazing what God's been doing in all of our lives. If I could say how my life started, it started with actually just one simple gospel track that didn't reach me, but actually reached my dad more than 20 years ago. My dad was studying at Central State University in Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, the only one of his family, a Catholic, German Catholic family out in Oklahoma City. And he was studying electrical engineering. At the age of 18, he walked outside, and he found this very track on the windshield of his car. And he grabbed and threw inside. And 2 weeks later, when he was cleaning out his car, he found the track again, and he read through it and read through it, and the seed of the gospel took root in his heart, and it brought forth fruit. And he got saved by reading this gospel tract, and now we have no idea who left it. We have no idea who it was. It could have been a child, a teenager, someone discouraged, someone who didn't want it. We have no idea, and we hope one day we can see it. But nevertheless, it reached someone, and it reached my dad. And my dad went to the address from where the tract was from, and when he got there, it was a Baptist church. He walked in the lobby. He was used to the Catholic church all his life, so when he walked up to the deacon who was receiving everyone, he said, "Hey, what time does Mass start around here?" You know, and the deacon, he laughed just like you guys, and he said, "Well, we don't have Mass, but we have a place for you right up here." So they brought him up front, and he listened to the word, and he took a step of faith and believer's baptism. And then after that, his life was changed, and he hit the ground running, and he joined the Bible college, met my mom. And you know, all that happened, and now I'm here because of one gospel tract. You know, we underestimate sometimes the power of the written word of God. But you know, have no idea what one gospel tract can do when you're faithfully sowing the seed. And it did made an effect in my dad's life. And for that, it started a new generation in the Lunde family of Christians. And so I say that because it started there. And ever since then, my parents, they surrendered to go to Brazil. I wasn't born at the time, obviously, but when I was 1 year old is when they went to the field of Brazil, and they've been in Brazil for about 30 years. So I grew up there in Brazil pretty much all of my life, and so that makes me a missionary kid, and I'm sure that some of you have met missionary kids. I just say all the rumors you hear about missionary kids are true, okay? They are true rumors. We are a weird bunch of kids. We are a unique kind of kids. They even have a list of jokes on missionary kids. They have all kinds. They say, you know, you're a missionary kid, you know, if you're eating soup and a fly falls in the soup and you dump out the soup in the fly. You know, in my case, I don't know if that ever happened. But they say, you know, you're a missionary kid if you're watching National Geographic and you see someone you recognize. You know, they have all kinds of jokes on us missionary kids. So if you have one, you can add one to my list. But as a missionary kid, I was born in Oklahoma, but I grew up in Brazil all of my life. So the first time I ever lived in the United States was when I was 18 years old. And so I came for the shock of my life. I was telling the young people this morning that when I first came to the States, I walked into Atlanta Airport, and I had never seen an automatic paper towel dispenser before. Latest technology, isn't it? And I was tempted to have fun with that. So, you know, if you don't see me around, you know where I am, if you guys have one of those here. But it was just, there was just some new stuff like that. I had never seen an escalator before. And I called it the magic sidewalks, you know. And I was like, wow, everyone wants to come to America because you get to eat hamburgers and not walk anywhere. You know, you just glide, you know. So I was just surprised by all the latest technology. But you know what? God used those stuff and letting me leave Brazil, getting me out of my comfort zone because He wanted to do something special in my life. And I was studying music education, and it was in my third year of school when the Lord began to work in me. And up to that point, I thought, well, I love God, and I love the ministry, I love missions, But that's what everyone is expecting from me, and that's not what I want to do. I want to trace my own path. And it was in my third year of college, there were several things that happened. Obviously, we don't have all night tonight. But the Lord began to work, and he began to say and show me, he said, hey, my planning is far above your planning, and it's far better, too. I mean, he's my creator. He knows me better from the inside out. So why do I think I know better than him? And so it was at that point where I realized that I'm going to just give it all to Christ, because that's the obvious logical thing, and he has my best interests in mind. And sure enough, God, as I gave it up to him, he started opening up doors like never before. And one of those doors was he led me back into missions, and then he called me back to the field of Brazil where I grew up all of my life. And he wanted me to carry on the torch that my parents had been carrying for over 30 years. And so that's where I'm headed now. And so after finishing up my college studies, 2 weeks after I got back to Brazil is when I met the most beautiful girl ever, and Susana, at a youth camp down there. And when she had just graduated from nursing school, and she had surrendered to missions a few years before. And so when we saw each other at camp, my mouth hit the ground, you know, and I was just like, whoa, look at this girl, you know. She must be a Christian nurse and a Christian supermodel at the same time, you know. So she's walking the runways for Jesus or something like that and giving shots at the same time. Who knows? And she looked at me and she's like, you poor soul. But I'm glad that God's grace is greater, and he allowed us to meet, and we got married in 2019, and we've been married for about 2.5 years now. And she is Brazilian. When people hear one of us is a native from Brazil, they think automatically it's me because of my brown skin. But it's Susana, but she speaks perfect English, like some of you have already spoken to her, so you don't have to do this weird language. But we're so excited to be here with you guys. That was just a summary of what the Lord's been doing and how he led us to this point. The reason I say all that is because I've had people ask me, well, you're a missionary kid, so it's obvious you're going to go back to your home, right? To be honest, that would seem like the obvious answer. But there's no logical explanation except to say that I know it's God that called me back to that field. And then I know it's God that wants me to be serving with the Brazilian people. And if he leads me somewhere else, well, so be it. But I know it was God that called me. And I know it's that God that called me and my wife. The Lord began to put a burden on my wife's heart a long time ago as well. And so we have a great burden for the country of Brazil, for Latin America in general. You know, it's amazing, if you really focus on Latin America, there is things happening in Latin America and doors opening like we've never seen it before. In the country of Brazil, it's a massive country, and it's referred to as the sleeping giant of Latin America because it's such a massive country, the same size of the United States in landmass, if you don't include Alaska, but with such a massive country, it's had no impact on the outside world. I mean, it's had some little bit of attention, but nothing major happened. It's been neutral in all the world wars. It's had no political influence. I mean, when you hear of Brazil, you probably think of coffee, maybe Brazilian jiu-jitsu, you know, and maybe Brazilian steakhouses and soccer. But there's nothing major that's happened because Brazil has had no impact in the outside world. And also, Brazil has not been fully reached. Brazil is still, to this day, one of the largest Catholic nations in the world. And it's such a massive country, but it's under such a deep spiritual darkness for so long. Now, back in the 60s, we had so many missionaries who went as pioneering missionaries, and they broke through, and they did a lot of pioneering work. And all of that, shall we say, tilling the ground, has prepared for what's happening now because there's a harvest that is beginning to happen now. And we have a generation of young people coming up who are leaving the Catholic faith, and they're seeking for something true. And so we're seeing a switch, a massive transition, and we're seeing a new generation coming up. And as a result, there's rumbles happening to where the country of Brazil, we believe, is about to wake up to a national spiritual awakening like never seen before. So we're excited about that. And so me and Susana feel a privilege to be a part of that. And so this video you're going to see is just a short 6-minute video. And it's going to just show you, give you a glimpse of what's happening in Brazil. It's going to show you just my perspective as a missionary kid. And then it's going to drop you in and then show you what we've been doing in Brazil. We've been involved in so many things. Obviously, if I could, I would put you in my luggage, keep the social distancing, and take you there myself. But we can't do that. So, but, you know, hopefully that it can you can get a little glimpse of what's going on in Brazil. There's so many ministries. There's so many doors opening up. I was talking to Brother Boone today. A door has opened up in the public schools of Brazil like never before. So we began a ministry called Teen Connect, where we've been reaching thousands of high schoolers with the gospel in the public school down there. And then also in the Amazon region, there's an area in the Amazon on the side of Brazil. It's the most isolated region on earth, where there's over 2,000 Indians who live there who have no contact with the outside world. That means they don't have any idea what an airplane is. And so it's been isolated by the government. And we've been, 15 years ago, we began medical evangelism work there in those parts, and we're beginning to reach those Indians, and we're beginning to translate, have some missionaries a part of our team working to translate the scriptures into their language, and we're slowly building bridges there. And then there's also, we've been actively planting churches, and there's so much stuff. So it's just a lot of exciting things that are happening. And if you could just join us and just pray with us that God will awaken that sleeping giant of Brazil. And just like it mentioned in the video, I just want you to picture one thing with me. Imagine a country that massive, when the Lord gets a hold of it and it awakens to the gospel of Christ, imagine the impact it's going to have on the outside world. We see how the Lord's used the United States in such an amazing way for the Great Commission. Imagine what God can do the same through a country like Brazil. And it's because of your prayers and prayer support that we're seeing the Lord open up doors like never before. So thank you. We count it a privilege to be able to serve the Lord and to be able to serve in Brazil. And thank you so much for what the Lord is doing. Just real quick, we're about 92% of our support raised, praise God, despite COVID. And the Lord's been so good. And we already got our tickets bought. So we're going to be heading down to Brazil November 10th. So it's coming down real fast. So we're getting the nervous jitters. But we're excited for what God is doing. So thank you again. Thank you, Pastor Joel. Thank you, church family, for allowing us to be here. And it's already been a blessing already for us to be here. Thank you.
A question I get asked quite often is, what is it like to be a missionary kid? Well, I have to say that MKs are pretty different. We come from one country, but are raised in another. It's always difficult to answer the question, so where are you from? And we can find our way better in an airport than even in an amusement park. We probably feel at home more in the car than in a house. We definitely have learned the art of how to pack. Rice and beans, it's a normal meal. We become nursery workers around age 8, and we lead junior church at age 12. We see the world differently. Others see us as a little bit odd, but for me, I love this life, and I thank God that He has given me this opportunity.
My parents, Sean and Stephanie Lunde, followed God's call to Brazil over 25 years ago, and I've had a front seat view in this adventure. I've seen my parents' passion in serving the Lord and helping people. I've learned what it means to sacrifice, to always stay strong in the struggles, and of course, rejoice in the victories. I've observed difficult situations that in my mind could only get worse, but then God comes through and shows Himself in a clear and definite way. When I was young, I would often see the hurt in the eyes of young children who came from broken homes, who were just longing for some love and care. But I've seen God change lives, and I know for myself without a doubt that God's word does change lives. My own life was changed when I was 12 while I was talking to my dad about the need for me to be saved from my sin, and so I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Over the years, the Lord has given me the same love and passion that I have seen in my parents for the people of Brazil.
I thank God for parents that never took the Christian life for granted. They were saved not long after being married and were eager to raise their children in the ways of the Lord. My dad, even though he had a good job, he turned down several promotions so he could have more time to invest in his most precious gift, his family. At the age of 6, in a Sunday school class, I recognized I was a sinner going to hell, and I accepted Jesus as my Savior. I always enjoyed getting involved with church ministries, and that, added to a desire to know more about the Bible, led me to study at the Institute at the age of 16. When the time came that I should go to college, I wanted to do something that could enable me to help others. And I felt the Lord guiding me to nursing school. Just before I started my junior year, an American missionary was preaching at my church, and I finally surrendered my life to missions. A couple months after I graduated, a young guy, also called to be a missionary, caught my attention in a church camp. Well, long story short, 3 years after that, we got married, and the Lord has blessed us with many opportunities to serve Him together since then.
But just because I was a missionary kid doesn't mean I was ready to go back to Brazil. When I left to go to college, my intention was not to go into the ministry and become a missionary. God's will, however, was different. While studying in Bible college, I learned that God's calling and not my planning was what really mattered. During my college years, I had opportunity to serve in many ministries, complete a church internship, and travel for 3 years with Neighborhood Bible Time. I also had the privilege to serve in other Latin American countries. Throughout my travels and services, my desire to serve grew strong. In my junior year, God showed me clearly that His will was for me to return to Brazil. He wanted me to carry the torch, to do my part in marching with those that had gone before me, sharing the gospel of truth. After college, the Lord gave me the desire to return to serve in Brazil for nearly 4 years. During that time, we had the opportunity to assist my dad in planting a new local church. We also served in our existing church through the bus ministry, youth rallies, and the music ministry. And the Lord opened the door for a Teen Connect ministry, which allowed us to hold rallies in the public schools. Through this, over 4,000 students and staff have heard a clear presentation of the gospel, and many have become part of local churches as a result. In addition to these ministries, we had the opportunity to enter one of the most isolated regions on earth, the Vale do Javari, an area in the Amazon which holds the largest concentration of uncontacted people in the world. While holding net evangelism clinics on the riverside communities, we witnessed hundreds of people hungry for the Word of God, longing for someone to show them the truth and life. Many villages had no church or gospel witness of any kind. Having worked alongside my father in the establishing of New Testament local churches, the Lord has given me a burden to reach Brazil through the planting of churches in the areas untouched by the gospel. Brazil is often called the sleeping giant because the world has yet to see what it can do. But imagine if this sleeping giant could be awakened by a spiritual revival. Imagine if when it awakens, it would be moved with a burning passion for Jesus Christ. And through this country alone, it could reach into the uttermost parts of the earth. This nation, this country, this giant needs to wake up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Will you go? Will you pray? Will you help us awake this giant out of spiritual darkness?